Yeah, so let us continue with our studies. Today's message, I call it the Gospel according to Torah. Yeah, we'll go there for sure. Last week we spoke about a decision that everyone must make, a choice to follow in the footsteps of Moses, who was a type of Messiah Yeshua, or, from another hand, or Korah, who was type of our human sinful nature in rebellion to God. We talk about our choice, our decision to follow the Lord. Today I want to share the joy of our salvation, which when we choose to follow the Messiah and the God of Israel, the joy of our salvation. Actually, it is a joyful thing to follow the Lord. Can you imagine? It's a joyful thing. We live in a world with a dreadful enemy who is constantly on the attack. He attacks our faith, our calling from God. Even sincere believers come under his attack, every one of us, tempted to lose the joy of God from their hearts, to lose his peace and presence from their life. This is an attack from our enemy. As long as man has walked this earth, he has been the target of attacks. Today, this enemy is devious and cunning, telling people that God is no longer fashionable. Who heard such news, that the Lord is not fashionable anymore? Now we have what we have today? Science. That in a modern world such as ours, God is just out of date. For me, it's like a deja vu. I will tell you why. It was a part of my story of my life when I grew in Ukraine. How do such ideas stack up against the message of last week, which spoke about how a believer can become lost in the wilderness of trials, can lose sight of his vision, can forget the purpose of God's call on his life? So, today I want to redirect our eyes to Yeshua, to help us return to the joy of our salvation, to help us recall the happiness that one enjoys as a child of God. It is a happy thing to follow the Lord. And I think back of my fascinating journey of faith, the path I have traveled since I began my walk with God. I again experience those same sensations I experienced 30 years ago. I came to the Lord 30 years ago. Can you believe? How old am I? Yeah? Yeah, for sure. Those same impressions that were mine when I first invited Yeshua into my heart, I remember everything from that moment. It's here, it's my heart, in my mind, it is with me forever. They keep me in the following the Lord. I remember what drew me to faith. I remember that. The one thing above all else which captured my heart and brought me to repentance. I remember this thing, this experience. You see, I once believed that God was very distant and quite indifferent to me before I came to him. He was somewhere out there, maybe up in heaven or somewhere, you know, different dimension, watching us all and waiting for any misstep so he could drop the hammer on us. This was my belief before I came to the Lord. The angry, faraway God who is ready to punish me for anything, just giving him any reason to do that. I knew about the Ten Commandments and about the punishment that followed the violation of God's law, for sure. Everyone knows about it. I therefore concluded in my mind when I was before coming to the Lord. I therefore concluded it was critical that I violate in such a way that he would not see me or be able to catch me. Simplest way to do. In retrospect, I'm reminded of a story from Genesis about Adam and Eve hiding under a bush to escape detention. Remember that story? I don't want to read there. But they decided to hide. They hid from the Lord. Of course, we know that guilt and shame was reason they hid from the face of God. They felt the way we all do when sin steals joy from our hearts and shalom from our lives. I have a question for us. Did they really think they could hide from the Lord? What do you think? Did they really think they could do that? I did. I thought. This is what I believed before my repentance, before my tshuva, before my coming to the Lord. I had no idea that there was another way to live. No adoption available into a life filled with forgiveness, joy, happiness, the peace of God. Let us say together, the peace of God. So, what was the clincher that brought me to repentance? Why did I follow God for my 30 years in my life? Not the fear of punishment. Not the feeling of guilt and condemnation. No. This was not the reason. But simply the captivating love of God into my heart, in my life. I gave my future into the hands of loving Heavenly Father. I trusted the overwhelming grace and mercy that came to this earth in our Messiah Yeshua. Can you imagine how merciful He is? So let me briefly share my testimony of how I came to faith. And you know, when somebody who is giving the message gives briefly, usually it takes a long time. So. But I will try to do briefly today. So I was born and grew up in Ukraine, which was then part of the Soviet Union, a country with a communist government which persecuted believers in God. True. We were taught that being a believer was criminal and a relic of an old and harmful history. I still remember the laughter of my classmates in school directed towards believers who were considered to be stupid and abnormal. So I grew up in such an environment which allowed no place for God, although I knew intuitively that He exists. You know, you don't believe in God until something happened to you. Then you start praying, even if you don't believe. This is my experience before I came to the Lord. And I prayed to Him for help when I was in a real jam. Some problems, God, help me. Problem resolves, there's no God anywhere. I had a wonderful, loving family with intelligent and educated parents. My father was an engineer and well-respected in our city. My mother was a neurologist. Of course, we were completely non-religious, with no mention ever made of faith or the Bible. I don't remember anything from my parents. It would seem that everything was fine with me. My childhood was happy and without clouds. Everything was fine. And I was surrounded by the love of my family. No problems. No problems with drugs or with drugs, nothing. But inside me, there was always an emptiness that I could not explain and I could not fill with anything else. I just feel it inside of me, this emptiness. I felt unnecessary and useless because I felt no peace in my heart. It was much later than I finally discovered that only the Holy Spirit can fit into that empty hole. Only the Holy Spirit. This is the place for Him to be there. So when I turned 16, soon after the collapse of the Soviet Union, and about the time, someone mailed us a small book. You know, this small blue book. It was a New Testament published and distributed by the Gideon Society, which some of you have supported with your contributions over the years. Who knows, maybe it was your contribution came to me back then, 30 years ago. Someday in heaven, I hope to find the man who mailed that New Testament and thank him for changing my life. I don't know who he was. I have no idea. So when my mother, remember, she was not a believer, a doctor, well known in our city, So when my mother saw that New Testament, she immediately hid it, forbidding me to read it or to even touch it. Do not read it. But you understand, of course, the best way to get a 16-year-old boy to do something is to tell him, do not do it. So this was the easiest way for the Holy Spirit to enter my life, through my mom saying no. So I could not find peace until I found that book. One evening I did find it and decided to check it out. When I read the first lines, I understood almost nothing, for sure. And in my irritation, I threw the book onto the table. In fact, I threw it so hard so that slid to the wall and fell off the back side of the table. I had a huge table there, big table. But after a few days, I felt an insatiable desire to continue reading this forbidden book. I remember that I had to kneel down and crawl deep under the table somewhere there to find the book, realizing only later that this was the first time I bowed to God and His word without knowing it. So the Lord has His ways. This time I mastered several chapters from the New Testament, and this time I threw this book very carefully. I tried to do very carefully on the table so that it would not fall off behind the table again. But it was not careful enough. So it went there. So the next day I had to kneel to God's word again as I retrieved it from beneath the table. Remember, please, that I have no recollection of someone telling me about God at that time. I was not a believer. Had no idea about God. I just read New Testament, Brit HaDashah, and it was first experience for me. But I do remember a day when I first discovered this story from Matthew chapter 25. Let us open Matthew 25, verses 31 through 34. This is my place of scripture. This was my day. This was my moment. This was miracle from the Lord to me. This was the message of love to me. So I would like to share it with you. Matthew 25, 31 through 34. Now when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another, just as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right, but the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right, come, you are who are blessed by My Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So, and remember, I wasn't a believer. Nothing, zero. But at that moment, I experienced a vision from God. I'm not a man of vision. I don't see it often. But at that moment, I had a vision. I did not know what I was seeing because I was absolutely not religious and knew nothing about visions, for sure, believe me. But suddenly, I felt myself among the people who are on the left side of the Messiah. After 30 years, I remember very distinctly the feeling that overwhelmed me. I remember everything 30 years later. I felt absolutely lost, abandoned, condemned. I saw many people with their heads bowed in shame. People who all their lives had denied God and fought with Him, who did not believe, and now they were there, standing in His court. I heard people crying, and I stood there asking one question myself over and over again. Why didn't I think ahead when I still had time? Why? Why didn't I understand the importance of knowing God? Why? Why didn't I seek Him when it was still possible? Why? I was swallowed up by a feeling of hopelessness. This was my experience 2 years ago. Then suddenly I found myself among those who stood at the right side of the Messiah Yeshua. And I remember waves of joy and happiness rolled over me. Everyone around me was dancing with joy and glorifying God for His mercy and forgiveness. I saw this picture. I was overwhelmed with a sense of God's presence and a sense of complete acceptance and forgiveness. What a moment it was for me. I can feel everything. So after 30 years, I still recall the only question on my heart. God, why did you do this? Why did you forgive me? Why did you have mercy on me? How did I deserve you for your love and mercy? How? I am such an unclean sinner. I do not deserve your love. And suddenly, everything was gone. I was again in my room, lying on the bed with this New Testament. Everything around me was the same, but I was completely changed. Completely changed. Supernaturally changed. At that moment, I was born of the Holy Spirit. The Lord filled my heart with His love and His light. You know, it's like dark room, and you turn on light. And everything changed, everything different. I was different in the presence of the Lord. He healed my soul and set me free from the condemnation of sin. I remember tears gushed from my eyes, and I fell on my knees before God, thanking Him for everything, for the fact that He opened up my eyes when I even did not seek Him and did not know Him. He decided to do that. So when I realized how He loves me, how He understands me completely, and that He will never condemn me and is always ready to help, His love won my heart. This is the reason why I follow Him. Not the fear of punishment, not the feeling of condemnation, but His love, His goodness, His mercy, His presence. Full of forgiveness, full of light. How wonderful it is. What else can we wish for? I would like to ask us. In many other religions of this earth, you must die for that God, but the Lord of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, give His Son Yeshua, who left the throne of heaven, and descended on this sinful and corrupt earth in order to give His precious life, His redeeming blood for us, so we can live for Him. And remember from the last week, for us, it was Yeshua Himself who died, so we can live for Him. He died for us first. We can think of today's chapter from the Torah, so it was short, my short story. I have longer, for sure, but it was short. So now let us go to the Torah portion, and let us see the gospel of the Torah. We can think of today's chapter from the Torah as the gospel of the Torah, the good news of the coming Messiah from God Himself, revealed in the history of the journey of the Jewish people in the wilderness. So today I want to read some scriptures from the New Testament which draw parallels to today's Torah readings. These verses tell us very clearly about the sacrifice of the Messiah, about the mercy of God, about forgiveness, about the Holy Spirit. So let us turn to John chapter 3. And let us open scriptures, John chapter 3. So John chapter 3 describes a very provocative and prophetic conversation between Yeshua and a religious leader from the Pharisee, whose name was Nicodemus. So they had very interesting conversation here. Yeshua and Nicodemus were talking about it, the subject of today's chapter from the Torah, Parshat Hukat, Regulations, the book of Numbers, chapters 19 through 21. So everything that Yeshua said to Nicodemus was from our Torah chapter, from today. Everything. We can read together. So let us read John chapter 3, verses 13, from verse 13. John 3:13. Here it is, today's Torah chapter. No one has gone up into heaven except the one who came down from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I believe all the believers across the world, they knew this word, they know these words. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The one who believes in him is not condemned. Is not condemned. But whoever does not believe has been condemned already, because he did not put his trust in the name of the one and only Ben Elohim, Son of God. What mercy and love has been shown to us that the Son of God died, taking upon himself all our sins. It is a mercy and love of God to us. When Yeshua was dying on the cross, the Heavenly Father left him. We will read about it. Turned his back upon Yeshua because God could not look upon the terrible sin and wickedness of all mankind for all time, which at the moment laid upon Yeshua's shoulders. I cannot conceive of the weight of that burden. I cannot conceive of my Father turning his back on me at such a time. It was a difficult moment in the life of Yeshua. But Yeshua was willing to become sin in our place, to become the Passover lamb, to become an atoning sacrifice that bore our punishment and brought our life with his death. So, let us read Mark chapter 15, that special moment when he was on the cross, when he was in this place of his death. Mark 15, verse 31. And what a prophetic picture here. Verse 31. Likewise, the ruling Kohanim, along with the Torah scholars, and I would like to repeat here, the Torah scholars. Who they were, Torah scholars? They were the people who all their lives learned Torah. All their lives. It was their life. So, along with the Torah scholars, were also mocking him among themselves. He saved others, they were saying, but he can't save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down now from the stake, so we may see and believe. Even those executed with him were ridiculing him. Verse 33, when the sixth hour had come, darkness fell over the whole land until the night hour. At the night hour, Yeshua cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you abandoned me? So, I would like to take this time for us. Can you imagine how blind we were? Can you imagine how blind and ignorant was Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel, Torah scholars? The great teacher of Israel who studied the Torah all his life, Nicodemus. How bitter and blind were the leaders of Israel, the Torah scholars, the sages of the Torah, the religious leaders of the time. How blind they were, and the rest of the Jewish people who stood at the foot of the cross and looked from the bottom up at the crucifixion of Messiah. And to the last moment, they all judged, all laughed at him. At the same time, they did not even remember, Torah scholars, even don't remember, did not draw any parallel with the passages recorded in Torah that we have read this week. It is in the Torah. It is so obvious. So let us open the Gospel of Torah, the Good News of Torah, Numbers 21. Today's Torah portion. And let us read about Yeshua. coming of Yeshua. Good news from Moses to us. Numbers 21, verse 4. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Sea of Reeds in order to go around the land of Edom. The spirit of the people became impatient along the way, so they lost their faith. The people spoke against God and Moses, "Why have you brought us from Egypt to die in the wilderness? Because there is no bread, no water, and our very spirits detest the despicable food." So Adonai sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people in Israel died. The people came to Moses and said, you know, always, "Moses, help us. We sinned when we spoke against Adonai and you. Please pray to Adonai for us, that he may take away the snakes." So Moses prayed for the people. And do you know that the Lord did not take snakes? He did something else. Snakes were there. Let us read verse 8. Adonai said to Moses, "Make yourself a fiery snake and put it on a pole. Whenever anyone who has been beaten will look at it, he will live." Wow. Isn't it a reminder of Yeshua's death? Isn't it obvious for us? So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole, and it happened that whenever a snake bit anyone and he looked at the bronze snake, he lived. How could any picture be clearer to us of Yeshua? His crucifixion and his death on the cross, that this one of the brazen serpent, which Moses placed on the cross in the midst of the camp of the Jewish people. This was the picture, prophetic picture of coming of Yeshua. At the time, remember this, at the time when Moses was told by the Lord to put the serpent high on the pole, or probably it was cross, it was a prophetic act, and Moses had no idea about such execution on the cross at the time, because it was invented 1,000 years later by Romans. It was completely prophetic picture of coming Yeshua who died for us. These were people who had lost their faith, had become weak and faint-hearted in the desert. That's when the snakes appeared. Snakes, the picture of sin in the Bible. And they began to bite people and people began to die. Such a clear illustration of the fall of mankind and of death which entered the whole world through sin. And there is only one solution, only one salvation from this death. Right in the middle of the camp, Moses placed a pole with a brazen snake at the top. A reminder of human nature, a picture recalling the sin which resulted in the fall of Adam and Eve. And I would like to tell you one interesting truth here. And remember, do not tell anyone. This is between us. Anyone born by a natural birth is born a victim of snake bite. Every one of us. All have the lethal poison of sin. Every one of us. Salvation is available to any who look in faith to Yeshua, as he is the only antidote for the snake bite of sin. This is today's Torah portion. I call it the good news of Torah. It is there. When people ask, when can I find Yeshua in the Torah? Look there. He's there. Can you imagine this crowd standing around Yeshua's cross, laughing of him? Did not even remember the Torah portion about Moses. This is why in John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Yeshua teaches the teacher of Israel, the Pharisee, Torah scholar, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." You can imagine how Yeshua speaking with Nicodemus, used this Torah account to teach about his own death and the atonement for sin. I'm not surprised that Nicodemus became a committed follower of Yeshua and a deeply believing Messianic Jew when he saw with his own eyes Yeshua's death and remembered the conversation with Yeshua, when Yeshua prophetically pointed about his death. You and I were in that crowd that stood at the foot of the cross and laughed at the Messiah Yeshua. We watched his life spill out on the rough timbers, and we heard him pray, "Father, forgive them. They have no idea what they are doing." I have a very important thing here. What love and mercy the Lord has shown us. How wonderful that he opened our eyes so that it's seeing Yeshua, we can trust him and accept his healing love into our hearts. It is a great thing to follow him. He loves us so much. So it would have been enough, but there is still more. Remember that conversation Yeshua told Nicodemus about the Holy Spirit. He told him, "You need to be born again from the Spirit." And I would like to read it, verse 3, John 3, verse 3 through 8. Yeshua answered him, "Amen, amen, I tell you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus asked him, "Teacher of Israel, how can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus said to him, "He cannot enter his mother's womb a second time and be born, can he?" Yeshua answered, "Amen, amen, I tell you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be surprised that I said to you, you all must be born from above. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." And I don't want to read it, but if you read next chapter, chapter 4, Yeshua explains to woman who was Samaritan woman about the living waters from the living source of water, from himself. He explains her about living waters. So Yeshua explained to this woman and to Nicodemus how she and the rest of the inhabitants of the city of this earth who came and believed in him would drink living water, the water of the Holy Spirit that proceeded from him. And let us read today's Torah portion, Numbers chapter 20. Again, today's Torah portion, chapter number 20. Verse 6, again, the same story. Yeshua, he taught this story from today's Torah portion. So Moses and Aaron went from before the assembly to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces. Then the glory of Adonai appeared to them. Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the staff and gather the assembly, you and your brother Aaron. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will give out its water. You will bring out water from the rock, and you will give the community something to drink, along with their livestock." So Moses took the staff from before the presence of Adonai, just as he had commanded him. Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly in front of the rock and said, "Listen now, you rebels, must we bring you water from this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with the staff. Water gushed out, and the community and its livestock drank. Do you remember 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verse 4? We read about it last week. All drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Messiah. So, the prophetic picture again in today's Torah portion. The rock from which the rivers of living fresh water was flowed, sufficient to water several million people and all their livestock, is a type of the Messiah Yeshua. Again, it is a prophetic picture of the Messiah Yeshua. And water is a type of the Holy Spirit, of which there is enough for everyone. an inexhaustible source of living water from his tongue, which is called the rock of our salvation. So, now I would like to continue, and I would like to say a couple more words about it. Again, we see the incredible mercy and love of God, the gospel of the Torah, in this place of Scripture. During the rebellion of the people, the Lord does not want to punish them. He understands the pain and the emptiness in their hearts, and therefore, the pain of their lives. He shows His mercy by quenching their thirst. How it reminds us of times when we rebelled, grumbled, sinned, and did not even understand the real reason of our condition, our thirst, and our hunger. So still, the Lord, in His great mercy, gave us His living water, the Holy Spirit, His life flowing within us. Can you imagine Nicodemus, who saw the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and remembered the conversation with the Messiah about the Holy Spirit? It's really changed his life. So, Yeshua's words from the Torah changed the life and teaching of one of the spiritual leaders of the Jews, who saw the Messiah and the gospel in the Torah. I call it the good news according to Torah. Likewise, Yeshua's love, His words, to me changed my life. I would like to remind you, and I would like to finish with this, conclude this, our service with this thought. Dear friends, you and I are happy people and are blessed people. To be a believer is not a problem. It is not a depression. When you give your life to the Lord, you don't enter the black hole. You are coming out of the black hole to the light. When you read the Torah, Yeshua is there. He's alive there. When you're beaten by snake of sin, just look at Him. I can share my story with you, but do not tell anyone, please. Some things in my heart I can't change. Something I cannot do. Maybe I'm alone here, but I can't change myself. I can't. And you know, the only one place where can I go? The only one place is the place where Yeshua died for me. In His presence. Only there the Holy Spirit can heal me. You know, we think we know ourselves. We know ourselves only outwardly. We know our wounds, we know our problems, we know ourselves. But I can tell you, truly we don't know ourselves, because the Lord knows us completely. He knows all our wounds. He knows everything we went through. And He wants to heal us. And the only presence of the Lord, this is the place where He can transform us. I just want to share with all my heart with you. Sometimes, when I'm in the presence of the Lord, 1 second in His presence is enough to be changed in some areas of my life. So, we cannot lose heart. We must not lose our faith. We must not become discouraged. You know, discouragement is a snake bite. Come to the cross. Come to Yeshua. Look at Him. Be healed in His presence. The price has been paid for us. We are redeemed. We are forgiven. What a depressing news for somebody, yeah? No. It's a joyful news. Torah has been fulfilled in our lives. The Messiah lives in our hearts today. He has risen. What else do we need? We have everything. people of Israel in the times, it was only a picture for them. But now we live through this time, real time. Now our goal is to follow Him and be filled with the Holy Spirit and His presence, as our Messiah and Savior Yeshua told us to do. So I would like to close our service today, but with one simple prayer, and you know, I would like to invite you. Let us stand together in the presence of the Lord. I have one prayer in my heart. You know, it is sometimes when we keep our faith or trying to share the good news with somebody about the Lord, sometimes we can easily say to them, the Lord loves you. He is for you. You know why? Because it's written there. Yeah, it's easy. You can read, you can. But sometimes in our life we forget this truth. The Lord loves you. And when you came to the Lord, He doesn't stop to love you, you know. It's not the end of His love. It's the only beginning of His love. I just want to pray that His love will heal us and His presence will heal us from this orphaned spirit, from this self-condemnation. Remember we read, to those who believe in Him, there is no condemnation. No, even small thing, no. Lord, I thank You for Your presence in this place, Lord. I really can feel Your presence, Lord. I really thank You, Lord, for Your promise. You told us that two or three are gathered together in Your name. You are with them, Lord. Yeshua, thank You for Your promise. Holy Spirit, I ask You, Lord, please, Lord, heal us, Lord. Heal us, Lord, our souls, Lord. I pray for everyone who is in this place, who has difficulty to believe that You love him, Lord. Please show Your love. Show Your love, Lord. Show Your mercy, Lord. Show Your presence, Lord. Thank You so much, Yeshua. Yeshua, You died for us so we may live for You. In Your love, in Your mercy, in Your presence. We thank You, Yeshua. And thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are so much to us, Lord. You all everything for us, Lord. You enough for us, Lord. Thank You. You can fill all our places in our hearts, Lord, with Your mercy, with Your love. Thank You so much, Lord. Thank You. Yeverecha Adonai veishmerecha. Yaer Adonai panavelecha vichunecha. Isa Adonai panavelecha ve'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom. Hallelujah. Thank You, Yeshua.